Now, since the boys had Mesiras Nefesh to come to school in a big snow, so we're going to hear a very interesting story, a brand new story. Only a few boys heard it the first day that we had the snow. There was very few boys here, and most of the boys in the lunchroom were not here, but it's such a good story, I would like to tell it to all the boys, because not only it's a good story and a very interesting story, it's a very important story to learn something very important. So it's good all the way around. Shh. But it has to be quiet to have story time. Story time is quiet. You can eat your pickles and your tuna fish and your French fries, but you can't talk. And eat your ketchup, and your tomatoes, and your applesauce, and drink your milky. But of course, between the tuna and the milk, you should have something in between, or at least don't have it in the same mouthful. Fish with milk does not go together in the same mouth. All right. A long time ago, in the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, was a very wealthy, that means a rich chassid. The story does not say his name, but just so we don't get mixed up, we'll call him Reb Chaim. So we have a name for this chassid. Now even though when we tell a story, we have to be very careful to tell it exactly. So I don't know if his name was Reb Chaim or not, but just to make it so we could follow the story, there's no reason why we shouldn't at least have a name for him. And it's not really changing the story because the story did not say his name. Because I try to be very careful when I tell a story to tell it exactly the way it's written. Without changing anything. To be medayik. Now this Reb Chaim had a very interesting business. He sold seeds. And Rabbi Barstein, didn't you just say he was a very rich man? How could you be rich if you sell little tiny seeds? How much is the little tiny seed worth anyway? Maybe a penny? Well, if he sold one seed to one person and he went home, I guess he wouldn't be a very rich man. But Reb Chaim used to sell bags and bags, big bags, and wagon loads and wagon loads of seeds to big farmers and big paritzes and big landowners that had big, gigantical farms, gigantic fields. Like if you ever drove in the country, you see a field that goes on and on and on until the mountains, you can't even see the end of it, and it's planted with wheat or it's planted with different kinds of food. And these crops, this wheat or this food that grows on the farm, comes from the farmers planting seeds. And there's a planting season that they go out to plant the seeds. If you have a big field, you need a lot of seeds. Reb Chaim used to go to the farmers and the big paritzes who had fields, and he had to get there right at the beginning of the planting season. You know how many seeds he took to them? Now imagine a truck loaded with bags. You ever saw a truck loaded with stuff? Okay. Is a truckload of stuff a lot? Yeah. What about two trucks? What if you saw three trucks going together? That's a lot. What if you saw 10 trucks going in a line? A lot of stuff? Okay. Now listen to me. Reb Chaim used to go with 300 wagons of seeds. Imagine 300 trucks going in a line, all going, and they belong to one person, and it's loaded with stuff. That's a lot of seeds. It's a lot of food. Now, these paritzes and these landowners and big farmers would pay Reb Chaim a lot of money to get the seeds there and to get them there on time. They had to be there on time, because what if you plant late? If you plant late and the seeds start growing late, they're not going to grow good. They won't have enough time to grow. And Chas v'Shalem, if he was there late and the plants didn't grow good and the apples came out mushy or the bananas came out mushy, then the farmers would lose money when they go to sell their food because the food wouldn't be good from the field. So he had to get there on time. So they plant the seeds and they get enough rain and get enough sunshine and all that so they can grow good. Now, if Reb Chaim gets there on time to give the farmers the seeds, he gets a lot of money and he's able to take care of his family and give a lot of tzedakah. And for the Tzemach Tzedek, he used to give a lot of tzedakah for things that the Tzemach Tzedek needed to have money for, big mitzvahs. But if Chas v'Shalem, Reb Chaim would get there late and make the farmers to plant late, they would lose money, he would have to pay a big knas. You know what's a big knas? A fine. He would have to pay them money. Not that they would pay him money, he has to pay them money. Now since Reb Chaim was very honest and a very hard worker, and he davened to Hashem to help him, every year he got there on time to give the seeds, to sell the seeds to the farmers. Now, there was a lot of farmers, and there was not enough time for Reb Chaim to go to every farm and every castle of Aparetz and every field. So this is what they did. On a certain day, before the planting season would begin, they would meet at a big hotel. A big hotel with a big restaurant. And this hotel was in a good location, a good place, that all the farmers and Poritzes and landowners could get there, and Reb Chaim could get there. He would bring the wagons of seeds, and they would come with their wagons. He would sell them the seeds. They would give him the money, and they would take the big bags of seeds and put it in their wagons and go home, and they would go to plant the seeds. Right? Now, one more thing you have to know. That so many Poritzes, big important Poritzes, and big rich farmers and big landowners getting together, and all of these people coming together would be a big happy time for them, like a big simcha, and a lot of them were good friends. So they felt it was like a yontif, lahavdil, like a big holiday. And they would make a big meal, and they would make a big party, and that was the beginning of the time, even before the selling. They'd first have a party. And by this party, you should know another thing before we really start what goes on in this story. What was the main thing from the party? Was it the bread? No. Was it the chicken? No. Was it the kugel? No. Was it the cake? No. Was it the bananas? No. Was it the onions and pickles and garlic? No. You know what the main thing by this party was? What do you think? The French fries?
Seeds.
Nah, they wouldn't eat the seeds. The seeds were for planting. What do you think? You know, a few hundred big parts is getting together and making a party and eating and drinking. What do you think the main thing was over there? The tuna fish?
The money.
The money. Well, yeah, the money was the important thing. They would not exactly eat the money. I'm saying for eating and drinking by big Poritzes. What do you think they like to eat or drink the best? What's the main thing over there by the meal? What do you think? Hot dogs? What do you think?
Mashke.
Mashke. Oh, here's the boy. We're not going to ask you exactly how you came up with that, but the mashke. Now, by a party, you have to have something new. By a Poritz in his castle, every day he has mashke. He wakes up in the morning, you'll have a bowl of cereal, he'll have a glass of mashke. I mean, every day is mashke. What's the big deal? All right. Tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow we'll find out what was the main thing by this big party over here. As we explained, the Paretz, when he wakes up in the morning, instead of a bowl of cereal, he has a nice big glass or a whole bottle of vodka, of mashke, or whiskey. And so, therefore, to go to a party and have the same thing is not exactly what he wants to do. He doesn't want to go to a party and have the same thing that he has in his house or his castle. Shh. So what they did by the party was they made a special punch. Ah, Rabbi, I know what's punch. Sometimes I get punch in a bottle, or sometimes we get it in a bag and we add water and we mix it up. Isn't that punch? Is that the Paretz's punch? Well, in those days, they didn't necessarily have punch in a bottle, and they certainly did not have it, a powder in a bag, that you mix water to all these kinds of chemicals and all kinds of stuff, whatever it is over there. This is how they made the punch. They made it fresh. You take... Okay. They got a big special bowl, a big punch bowl. They used the same bowl every year. Of course, hopefully they cleaned it out when they were done. But it was a big special bowl with different decorations on it, you know, because the punch was so special. And usually in the kitchen, the cooks who were cooking all the different stuff, they would also make the punch. And they would get all kinds of sweet fruits like cherries and strawberries and peaches and plums, or whatever was in season, whatever the fruits were in that area, and oranges, and they would add sugar, and they would add maybe spices, and maybe even chocolate, and maybe cinnamon. And they would mash a few bananas, and squeeze a few watermelons, and, you know, they would put all this stuff in the punch, and... Of course, the main ingredient would be a few big bottles of mashke, of vodka, to make it, you know, the way Paretz like it. This is not for kiddies. This is for big Paretzes and big daddies and men and, you know, people that like to drink that kind of stuff. And this is the way they made the punch. They would drink the punch. They would get very happy, in a good mood. And then they would do the business of the seeds. Now, this is the way it went every year. Now, let's see what happens this year in this story. Okay. Reb Chaim is getting ready to go with his seeds to the hotel to do the business. And as I said, he must get there on time. And he's very, very careful to get all the seeds together in bags and to load them in the wagons. Now, each landowner, each Paretz, had his order, how many he wanted. Some Paretzes needed 10 bags. Some needed 50 bags, like a whole wagon load, whatever a wagon load was, 50 or 100 bags. Some Paretzes had such a big amount of land, they needed 2 wagons full of seeds. Now, the biggest order came usually, and this year it came, from Count Kapinski. Count Kapinski was the biggest Paretz, and the biggest millionaire, and the biggest landowner, and he had the most fields, and the biggest castle, and he also had the biggest mouth, and the biggest temper of all of the Paretzes. If Count Kapinski did not get the nicest seeds and the nicest bags, and if he was not served in the nicest way, Count Kapinski would get very upsetty. Count Kapinski would get upsetty, very upset. And therefore, Reb Chaim was very careful to make nice bags, full bags, nice wagons, nice horses for Count Kapinski. Do you know how many wagon loads of seeds were going just for Count Kapinski? 20 wagons of seeds for Count Kapinski. Now, it came the morning that Reb Chaim is going to leave with his 300 wagons of seeds. Now, do you think Reb Chaim can do all of this by himself? This is a big job. Reb Chaim is not going to load all of those 300 bags of seeds, heavy bags, on the wagons. Who do you think is going to load the wagons? He has workers. He had two big, strong goyim who were workers, and their names were Vladimir and Boris. Or if you want to say Boris and Vladimir, whatever way you look at it, these were two big, strong workers, Boris and Vladimir. Well, there was also a manager who was like a big helper, who was very important, and his name, we're going to call him Reb Beryl. And Reb Chaim, of course, is the owner of the business and the main businessman. And now, early in the morning of the trip, Boris and Vladimir are loading the wagons with the seeds. And Reb Beryl is getting together the different kinds of things that they need to take on the trip. And Reb Chaim is getting ready. And he says to Reb Beryl, "Let's make sure to leave on time with all of the 300 wagons. Are you sure that Vladimir and Boris are loading all of the seeds on the wagons?" "Yes, yes," Reb Beryl says. "They're loading all the seeds. They got up very early this morning. They're just about ready." And Reb Chaim says, "I want to count the wagons to make sure that we have all of our 300 wagons." "Okay." Reb Chaim starts to count wagons. 1, 2, 3. Now, do you have to count not one, not two, and not three for wagons? Or you could count 1, 2, 3 for wagons? Okay, you can say 1, 2, 3 because you're not counting people. If you're counting Yidden, you have to say not one, not two, not three. But when you count wagons, you can say 1, 2, 3. And Reb Chaim is counting the wagons. And Reb Beryl's alongside of him. All of a sudden, a voice comes out of Reb Chaim's house. "Chaim, Chaim." "Oh, it's my wife. She's calling me." "Hey, the baby, the baby. Come in here, please, for a minute. Hey, the baby." "Oh, she needs me. It's something with the baby. Reb Beryl, I have to run into my house. Something with the baby." "Shh." Reb Beryl says, "But if you run into your house, it's going to take time and you have to count the wagons." He says, "Look, Beryl, you count the wagons because I have to go into my house and I don't want to be late to leave. You count the wagons. Where are we holding?" 21. "Okay, this is wagon 21. The next one is 22. You continue." "Okay, Reb Beryl is continuing the wagons. 22, 23 wagons, 24 wagons, 25 wagons. He gets to about 36 all of a sudden from his house. "Beryl, Beryl, the baby, our baby, he needs Tati for a minute." "Our baby now. Uh-oh. I have to go into the baby also. The baby needs Tati. Well, Tati's going to go away on a long trip, and I don't want to just leave the baby crying, so I better go into the baby. But wait a minute. I have to count the wagons. Reb Chaim told me to count the wagons. What am I going to do? I have to go into the baby." All of a sudden, Boris and Vladimir are over there, walking close by. And Beryl got an idea. If I can't count the wagons, and if Reb Chaim can't count the wagons, who's left to count the wagons? I'm going to ask Boris and Vladimir to continue counting the wagons. "Boris, Vladimir, please come here." Hey, that rhymes. "Boris and Vladimir, please come here."
"Yes, Beryl."
Listen, I have to count the wagons. We have to make sure we have all the 300 wagons. And I would like you to continue counting. I'm holding my 36. Can you please do that and be careful?
Oh, okay, we'll do that.
Ribeiro goes into his house, and Vladimir says to Boris,
Boris, how much wagons have to be?
And Boris says, 300.
Vladimir says, Boris, you know how to count to 300? I think so. I didn't do it for a long time. I think I could count to 300. Can you count to 300? I can count only to 100.
Well, both of us together will try. Okay. Okay, let's go. 36, 37, 38, 39, 3010. No, it's not. What is it? 3010? Yeah, it's 3010. No, I think it's 40.
No, no, it's 3010.
Okay. 3010, 3011, 32. And after 49, they get to 4010, and then after 4010, they get to 4011, they start getting mixed up. How much wagons was it? I think it was 4011. Okay, 4011, 4012, 49, 4012. What comes after 49, 4010, yeah. No, 60, okay, 63. Wait, 61, yeah, 61, okay. All of a sudden, Boris says to Vladimir, you know, I'm very thirsty all this counting. Thirsty. You have what to drink? Yeah, I have what to drink. I'm also thirsty. Let's take a drink. Now, what do you think Boris and Vladimir would have in their pockets when they get thirsty to take a drink? What do you think they might have when they get thirsty? Let's see who could figure out what workers, big workers like Vladimir and Boris, who lift big, heavy bags of seeds, what would they drink?
Mashke.
Vodka, yes. They have a good bottle of vodka. And they take out of the pocket a nice bottle of vodka. And Boris drink the vodka. And Vladimir drink the mashke. A good drink, mashke. And they drink down the bottle of vodka, Vladimir and Boris. And when they get up to about 92 and 95 and 97, they are not only seeing one wagon at a time, they're seeing two wagons at a time. They're seeing double. And Boris says, Vladimir, it goes easier this way because we get double the wagons counted. Instead of counting 82, 83, 84, we can count 84, 86, 88, 8010 right away. Two wagons at a time. And maybe they saw three wagons at a time after a while because they drank so much mashke. Well, they get mixed up and they drink some more until they get up to past 100, past 200. And Vladimir and Boris are talking. By the way, Boris. Yes, Vladimir, my friend. Did you pack the rest of the seeds that Reb Beryl told you to pack? Remember, right before we came down to go. Didn't he tell you to pack the rest of the seeds? No, no. He told you to pack the rest of the seeds, not me. I heard him tell you. I forgot. Were they packed? Now, it so happens that Vladimir and Boris are talking about the last big pile of bags. And there was a big pile of seeds that was supposed to go in the last 20 wagons. Did you pack it? I forget. I don't think so. Now, you know whose 20 wagon loads of seeds this was? Count Kapinski. Count Kapinski. Not Count Yupinski, but Kapinski. It seems there was a big pile of bags that were supposed to be put on the last 20 wagons for Count Kapinski. And Boris and Vladimir are trying to figure out if they packed them or not. And Boris says to Vladimir, you know what, it doesn't really matter. As long as we get 300 wagons, that's what we're supposed to get, that's what we're supposed to take. So whether we packed it or not, as long as we have 300 wagons, we're okay. Okay, let's finish counting. 300. Let it be 300. Now, they got so mixed up, they have no idea how many wagons they were. But they remember there's supposed to be 300, so they made it 300. Finished. 300 wagons. And their heads are spinning, and they can't even go and finish their job. I mean, so they went, and they ate a little something, a few pickles and some garlic to go with their mashke. And now they go back to get in the wagons to go on the trip. And by this time, Reb Chaim finished in his house with his baby and said goodbye to his wife and the kiddies. And Reb Beryl finished in his wife. And Reb Beryl finished in his house with his babies and his kiddies and said goodbye to his wife. And now they get in the front wagon. Reb Chaim, Reb Beryl, Boris, and Vladimir. And right before they go, Reb Chaim turns to Reb Beryl. Reb Beryl, did you count the wagons like I told you? The 300 wagons to make sure there's 300? Well, Reb Beryl did not want to tell Reb Chaim that he didn't do it, because Reb Chaim had asked him to do it, but he had to run into the baby. And he had told Vladimir and Boris to do it. So he turns around really quickly and he says, Vladimir and Boris, did you count the wagons? Yes, Marl. Did you get 300? Oh yeah, 300. The wagons were counted, 300. You mean you counted the wagons? The wagons were counted, 300 wagons, ready to go. Okay, well, Reb Chaim was, you know, in a hurry to go, and he didn't exactly think into what Reb Beryl said. Did Reb Beryl say, I counted the wagons, or he said the wagons were counted? The wagons were counted. Who counted the wagons? Vladimir and Boris. They counted the wagons. Did they really count the wagons? Or did they dream they counted the wagons? They did not really count the wagons. Well, they started to go, and Reb Chaim thought that all 300 wagons are going, and they're going, and they're going. One day, and they're going, and they're going. 2 days, and it takes about 3 days to get to the hotel. And they're going, and they're going. And now it's the third day. And now, in a few more hours, Be'ezus Hashem, they will reach the hotel. Now, there was a certain part of the road that was the top of a hill. Not a big hill, but a high place. And if you look down, you can see the road going straight. Now, it used to be from this place in the road, Reb Chaim would always turn around every year and see all of his wagons at one time. Because the road was so long and so straight, he could see all of his wagons at one time. Now, usually on other parts of the roads, in fact, on all the other parts of the roads, if he would turn around, he could only see a part of the wagons, maybe 50, maybe 100, maybe a little bit more, because, you know, the road usually is windy, goes around a few trees, around maybe a mountain or a few hills, and he could not see all of his wagons at once. But in this particular place, on this particular road, Reb Chaim used to turn around and see from the first wagon all the way to the last wagon. And he usually went with 300 wagons because he had usually the same customers each year. Maybe he went with a few less or a few more, but usually around 300 wagons. And what he used to usually see was, he would turn around, and the first wagon, of course, was his wagon, and then the rest of the wagons were behind that. And the last wagon was all the way by some big trees. That was always the sign that all the wagons were there. They were by the big trees. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim, he turns around just to have a look at all of his wagons. And he turns around and he says to Reb Beryl, uh-oh, something is a little funny over here, a little strange, a little different. I'm getting a feeling that something is wrong.